Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not one Star Wars movie watched yet. Not one. Also, I just knocked the clipboard off my desk and nearly killed the cat. I didn't realize my 18-year-old cat could move that fast. Can you hold, please? I knew this desk wasn't big enough, and eventually I was going to have an accident. I'm just glad it wasn't my coffee. I just finished my coffee a couple of minutes ago, and so I'm glad that didn't go flying all over
the floor. This is madness.
Exactly. You know how I talk with my hands. So if I'm talking with my hands and there's anything within reach, it's usually going to go flying. And I mentioned this last week, but the desk I'm using for my home studio with the equipment on it. It's a massive cords behind it. And it's got me facing into a corner so that the cords aren't exposed out in the middle of the room. But it's also a desk that my grandfather gave me when I was 13 years old. Really good condition. I still have the headboard and the footboard of the bed. It's a twin bed. I've got the nightstand and I've got the dresser with the mirror over the top. You know, there's a couple of handles that are kind of hanging off, but it's still in really good condition. And, I'm happy to be using the desk again. I had to clear off all the photos and the lamp to sit here, but it's closest to my router. So I'm plugged in directly to the router, which is why we have such good audio, even though I'm at my remote secret base. And, it's also why I'm here sitting in my spare bedroom because we only have carpet in my house in this one room. And so, yeah, I feel like this is the best spot for me, but it's a really small desk with cats and dogs everywhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of you giving me your... I mean, I'm going to assume that these are well thought out answers, or maybe you're just going with your gut. I guess I don't really know. But it's a difficult question. So if you need to take some time to think about it, that's fine. If you can only bring back one sport or one league following the pandemic, which one would it be? If you can only bring back one, which one would it be? And I got to tell you, I'm really impressed with the way that the Major League Baseball owners and players have been working together. They don't have any idea when baseball will get the green light, but they're going to be ready to go. They've got an economic and financial structure in place now, and they've also agreed to multiple conditions that must be met whenever baseball does resume. And they're agreeing even to tinker or to take ideas about what the postseason should look like. We may never have seen this type of cooperation between the baseball owners and the Players Association before. I mean, they've had a stretch of labor peace here, which is good. But for them, I think they're filling this downtime, this uncertain time, with productivity, considering all the options, throwing some dates out there. Hey, if baseball resumes now or it resumes then, we'll do this. Kind of like a bunch of if-then math problems. If, then. But also being willing to think way outside the box. For instance, a World Series week or neutral site playoff games in November. So even if you end up with a cold weather city or a cold weather team in the World Series, or even say the championship series, depending on what the playoff structure looks like, you could host those games at warm weather sites or stadiums that have roofs. That way, you don't have to limit the length of your season even more based on the weather. And so I'm really impressed with the way that we've seen baseball communicate, go over the options, and get prepared. Lots of contingency plans. This type of cooperation will equip the sport to be ready to come back and hit the ground running. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their homes to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got some really cool guests coming up later on this week that I'm excited about. I think they'll be very informational and entertaining, I hope. I hope they'll be good talkers. I know Wade Phillips is a good talker. So the longtime NFL head coach and defensive coordinator, he's got a new book out about the football lessons he learned from his dad, Bum Phillips, who was also an NFL coach. And he's going to join us a little bit later in the week. We're also going to talk to Cuban baseball sensation Louis Tiant, who spent part of his career in Cleveland, maybe more well known for his time with the Red Sox. He also has a book out. I started reading it on Sunday in preparation for our conversation. And I'm really intrigued because of the time I've spent in Cuba to hear his perspective as someone who was born there, but was born to a baseball star dad, and then used baseball to get out of Cuba. So there's an even more than his book and his his campaign to get into the Hall of Fame. In fact, one of his teammates, Carl Yastrzemski, has done a whole lot of stumping for Louis to get into the Hall of Fame. But because of the fact that he's Cuban and his departure from Cuba, his time playing baseball is during the height of the Fidel Castro regime. I'm really interested to talk to him. So that'll happen a little bit later, a couple of days. We're also going to speak with Olympian and tennis pro Sam Querrey, who is one of the top ranked American males. We'll get his perspective on what this sports hibernation is like. And I spoke to my friend who works for Indian Wells. And you remember Indian Wells is the massive tennis tournament that it's in the desert east of California, or east of Los Angeles, excuse me. And they were the very first sporting event to cancel. I remember it was Sunday night. Gosh, I'm going to look at the date because, man, it feels like we have had so much happen in the month of March. But I remember I was getting ready to go on the air. It was the week before Selection Sunday, right? So it would have been Sunday night, the 8th. The tournament was set to start on the 9th. And they canceled. They completely canceled the tournament. Not agreed to hold the tournament without fans. They completely canceled the tournament hours before it was expected to start. And so my friend works for Indian Wells. She does PR and marketing and promotions, and she's also one of the site coordinators during the tournament. It's her busiest time of the year. And she said, we spoke on the phone on Saturday. She said they held their kids' day. They had thousands of children on Saturday, the day before they called off the tournament, and that they had had discussions every single day, even the weeks leading up to when they were supposed to start, about where can we put hand sanitizers? How can we encourage fans to wash their hands? How can we try to prevent the spread of the virus, even as we have a 500,000 fans crammed into our site over a 2-week period? So they were having consistent meetings, she said, about the virus and about the impact, and they were getting daily updates, and they were considering their options. At one point, they did consider holding the tournament without fans, she said, but she said ultimately, because of the sheer numbers of people that they have at their site over that 2-week period, they decided to cancel. And she said they got a lot of a lot of criticism for that, a lot of questions. Why would you do that? Why such a drastic move? And then she said over the course of the next 3 days, remember the NBA then suspended its season. What was it? I think it was Wednesday night of that week. And the NCAA tournament was called off Thursday, I believe, if I'm remembering my dates correctly. The NHL followed, and then there was just dominoes after that. And she said there definitely was some vindication among her bosses and those who made the decision to call off Indian Wells, because at the time, being the first event to take that type of a drastic step, they got a lot of criticism. But within days, pretty much every other sport and event had followed suit. And now here we are a couple of weeks later. And while the NFL draft is still going on as planned, coming up at the end of April, we know that all of the NFL team facilities are closed at least until April 8th. So at least until the middle of next week, if not beyond, they'll really evaluate at that point. And then we know the Olympics, the largest scale sporting event on the world stage, has been postponed a year. So the Tokyo Olympics and the Paralympics Organizing Committee president actually came out on Saturday. His name is Yoshiro Mori, and he said that it doesn't appear as though they can manage a spring start date for the Olympics. For those of you who listened to the show last week, we had an Olympics reporter who kind of answered all my questions. They're really good insight about, you know, the logistics of postponing an event of this magnitude with 153 countries and 33 sports and 11,000 athletes. And he said one of the possibilities they were looking at, this is the IOC, and talking over with Tokyo officials, is that they would hold the games in the spring of 2021 because they were thinking about the heat and thinking about the fact that some of the events that they were going to hold this summer would have been in extreme heat, and that if they could, they might like to move them earlier into the year, so to maybe avoid having to go into higher elevations and get away from some of the heat of Tokyo. But according to the Tokyo Olympics Committee president, again, Yoshiro Mori, he said it looks like the date will be 23rd of July, 2021. So it would have been almost exactly a day. If they stick to that date, it'll be almost exactly a day after they were supposed to start in 2020. And Mori, he did an interview on Japanese television. He said the games are meant to be in the summer. So we're still looking at that stretch between June and September. And now you've got multiple outlets reporting June 23rd is the date where it looks like that they will hold the games next year, though there's been no official announcement from the IOC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Olympics, I guess, could be one event that you would choose, but the problem is you would only get that every 4 years. Well, every 2 years if you're into both summer and winter. Well, what is the one sport, the one league that you would bring back if you could only bring back one? Let's squeeze in a quick call here. Scott in Boston, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, good morning, and thank you.
You're welcome.
When you say quick call, I assume that means 49 seconds anyway, right?
49 seconds. I'll give you a little more than 49 seconds, Scott.
All right, here we go. I'm going to make a quick comment on your question from earlier, okay, and then I'm going to ask you a question that's going to turn this show upside down for 40 minutes. All right, to answer your question, easily hockey is the worst thing we're missing right now. Am I being biased because Bruins had the best record in the NHL? No, I'm not, and I'll tell you why I'm not. Do you understand the best, Amy, listen to me, please. The best.
What else do you think I'm doing?
I know. I was just trying to reiterate to the fans that are half asleep behind the wheel. The best, most dominant athlete in all of sports right now. You know what? I'm going to quiz you. I already gave you a tease. It's a hockey player. Who do you think is most dominant athlete in sports right now?
Pat Mahomes.
Say it again.
Pat Mahomes.
No. Not even close. Amy, are you kidding me? You ever heard of Connor McDavid?
No, I've never heard of Connor McDavid, Scott. What a question.
Hold on, and I know you're being facetious, and that's
yes,
fine.
Yes, I am.
He's up in Edmonton. And Amy, I'm a hockey fan. I won't get into that, but he is the most dominant hockey player I've seen, and I'm only 43 years old. But since Mario Lemieux entered the league in 1984, this kid is unbelievable.
He is.
He's 23 years old. Already led the league in scoring on a last place team twice. He's finally got some help with Draisaitl. Edmonton was going to make a nice playoff run, and what happens? Coronavirus. You got to be kidding me.
Well, it could still come back. I'm still holding out hope that we are going to see the playoffs in the NBA and the NHL. I haven't completely given up on that yet.
Okay, so closing on that, though, that's the biggest sin is we're losing great playoff hockey. The heck with the Bruins, but my hometown. I want Connor McDavid was about to shine. And if he was ever in a major market, Amy, like Boston, Chicago, L.A., blah, 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 he'd be a household name. No one even knows. This kid is the
LeBron. Not true. No, that's not true. There's a lot of hype around Connor McDavid. And if you follow hockey, even casually, or maybe you see hockey on social media, it's almost every night that there's a highlight from McDavid on Twitter or on, you know, their other social media sites. He will have the chance to leave Edmonton if he wants to. He doesn't have to stay there. At some point, he'll end up as a free agent if he chooses.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. I'm just saying this year, and I have a question for you, so don't dump me, please. But yeah, McDavid, that to answer your question from earlier, what's the biggest crime that we're missing out on? McDavid.
No. The question don't change the question. The question was, what one sport or league would you bring back if you could only bring back one?
Well, I think my answer's already been it's hockey,
right.
Obviously.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Now here's my question for you. Sports is going to come back. Now, here's my question, Amy. Oh, no joke. I think this is a very good question, if you don't mind me tooting my own horn here. If you're going to come back very hard with the fans, meaning day one, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, it's going to be overflooded, sold out on the street, everyone watching on billboards, or it's going to be empty. It's not going to be how it was. I don't know which way it's going to react. I can't wait to see. We're about to find out if people are just creatures of habit or creatures of love sports. This is unprecedented, Amy, as you eloquently said a minute ago. Which way is it going to go? People may say, the heck with it. I don't care anymore. Or they're going to go, finally, I missed it. I have it back. Which way is it going to go?
I don't think it's going to be the first option in which you say, like, forget it. I didn't miss it. You were gone. I survived just fine. I honestly don't think that's the case. And I think the longer that we go without sports, the more people will miss them and will crave them. And I think the more people are cooped up inside and the more that they are limited in, you know, as we transition to spring now in most of the United States and the weather gets warmer and people want to be outside and they want to, you know, go hang out. And it's been a long winter in some places. I really do think the opposite is going to be the case. And I guess there will likely be some caution. But if you think about the number of young people who are already chomping at the bit and in some cases are refusing to follow the stay-at-home orders or the, you know, bans on mass gatherings, I think you are going to see people say, okay, enough is enough. I want to get back, you know, to what I was doing. I want to take advantage of the warm weather, the whatever is left of the spring, the summer, as long as I possibly can. And so I think that's going to happen. I think because sports are gone, we're going to appreciate them maybe more than we ever have. We're never going to take them for granted again.
Amy, thank you for the time. Give me 10 seconds. I call too much talk from Sports Radio Local, your affiliate. I know I'm about to be dumped and I'm very close. I can tell. But last 10 seconds in closing. You said you loved your Hartford Whalers jersey, correct?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I have a T-shirt.
T-shirt. You were at a picture, I believe, with a family member. Guess what jersey I have? T-shirt.
Like right now?
A T-shirt or a jersey, by the way. Guess what team I have that I love? Ready? Quebec Nordiques. Tell me that's not an awesome logo.
There you go. That is. I love it when it's a throwback, too. Scott, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call in Boston. I love how he always sets himself up with these timers and then blows right through them. But it's okay. We are meandering our way through after hours because we are not on any kind of a crazy schedule. Although I do have to record a CBS Sports Minute. All right, 855-212-4227. If you could only bring back one sport or one league following this pandemic, which one would you choose?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All the classics. We're bringing back all the classics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're asking you if you could only bring back one sport or one league following the pandemic, which one would it be? On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. David says NASCAR because cars rule. Oh, my goodness. So many comments on our Facebook page. So my internet crashed while I was recording my CBS Sports Minute, and so I lost track of the number of Facebook posts that you had put up. But now, as I'm getting back on Facebook, wowzers. Andy says hockey because the Bruins were killing it. Richard on Facebook, NHL, love the excitement of the playoffs. Terrence says NFL hands down. Steven, I'm ready for the baseball season to start. I'm ready to see my Texas Rangers in their new ballpark. No more sitting out and playing in this Texas heat. Robert, college football. Matt on Facebook, MLB because baseball. Let's see. Scott says NCAA men's basketball only because I'm a big Dayton Flyers fan. Would love to see how far they could go. I remember them beating Wayman Tisdale's OU team only to lose to Georgetown. Let's see. Chris says the NBA because I miss my Milwaukee Bucks. Wayne, NASCAR, love it on a Sunday afternoon. So there's a cool variety of answers, which I think is great. And that's the best part about being an American, is that we are free to choose whichever answer, whichever sport, whatever it is. It takes all kinds to make up the world. And yet we come together over our love for sports. Chris says NCAA football, go Vols. Let's see. Charlie says, as much as I love football and the Patriots, would have to be NASCAR by far, left turn. Yeah, people make that joke, except that when you have road races, they don't just turn left. Let's say Dean on Facebook, MLB has the potential to be the safest because of outdoor stadiums. And if the game isn't sold out, you can practice your social distancing. Well, baseball has indicated that it will not return. They've actually agreed on three conditions that have to be met before they will resume games. And I just did my CBS Sports Minute about this. Baseball is not going to return until the bans on mass gatherings have been lifted and until medical officials say that it's safe for the players, the staff, as well as the fans. Now, the commissioner reserves the right to have games with no fans and also reserves the right to potentially use neutral site locations if necessary. But right now, baseball's agreed. It will not resume its spring training and then move forward into the regular season until it's safe for everybody who's involved. And both the owners and the players have agreed to that. Tim says, if I could only bring back one sport or one league, it would be the madness. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Gosh, it's a really tough choice, so I get it. And Carol says, I'm stuck between MLB and NFL, but I'm going to go with MLB. Just so much more bang for your buck. Dan says he's starving for the NBA. Best playoff format and the crown champion. Luke, right now the NBA for sure, but I don't know what I'm going to do without the NFL. Yeah, I can't imagine life without football. So for me, it's the NFL. Not only because I love it as a fan and because I crave it, but also because as a radio host that works in the sports realm, most of the time as a radio host, our jobs wouldn't be 75% of what they are without the NFL. As I say all the time, NFL drives the bus. It is king. And I can't even imagine this job without any NFL. Gosh, talk about having to be creative. I feel like it would be emptier than what it is right now with the coronavirus pandemic. Another tweet, college football. I don't want to miss my Florida Gators finally making the playoffs so close last season. And then Scott on Twitter, MLS, because soccer is getting more popular in America. And if the globe only had one sport, there could be tournaments basically 365, if not just in North America versus Europe or South America. So lots of answers, a variety of answers, which is great. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, coming up, even though football facilities, so NFL facilities have been closed down for at least the next week when they will reevaluate, We know the business has continued to take place all remotely, all with the safe distances among those people who are talking and negotiating. And then we also know that the draft is still ahead. And so there's a lot happening in the NFL, thankfully, that's keeping us busy and giving us plenty to chew over as sports fans. So we'll give you a couple of players who made some appearances over the last couple of days on various media outlets.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
For a second there, Austin Hooper was up for grabs. He was a guy that was with the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, last 2 years, a Pro Bowl tight end with the Atlanta Falcons, and then was deemed replaceable and had to find a new team. But he has settled on the Cleveland Browns, and he's pretty excited about the opportunity to play with Baker Mayfield. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thankfully, the NFL has continued its free agency, its business. There are still some pretty big names out there. Quarterbacks, Jadeveon Clowney. Austin Hooper, though, he's got a new home with a quarterback who likes to sling it.
Yeah, just watching him from afar and watching him live when we played him with 2 seasons ago now, just seeing his competitive spirit, his drive, and how hungry he is to win. I mean, that's something that really jumped out to me. I mean, being a younger quarterback, he's only going to get better. So I feel like a lot of people get wrapped up in young quarterbacks if they, you know, they don't make this throw, do this or do this, or, you know, this 15-year NFL QB wouldn't do this. It's like that stuff will happen. It's called growing pains. But just seeing his raw tools and his want, I mean, that speaks more volumes to me than how strong your arm is.
So with the Atlanta Falcons the last couple of years, but now a member of the Cleveland Browns, though he did have another option besides Cleveland.
Redskins were definitely a team that had shown interest, I would say. Definitely a solid organization with another talented young quarterback. So that was probably going to be my next landing spot. I mean, it really came down to, you know, Cleveland and Washington. Yeah, at the end, I chose to be a Brown.
4 years with the Falcons, now with the Browns. So the Washington Redskins, under new head coach Ron Rivera, were also in the running. On SiriusXM NFL Radio, Austin Hooper excited to get started on the shores of Lake Erie whenever he is allowed to do that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. There's always talk of retirement this time of the year and right after the season ends. Man, it's only been, 7 weeks since the Super Bowl? It feels like an eternity, I know. But there are various players, especially guys who have a lot of wear and tear on their bodies, that will maybe take the time, try to determine if they should retire, if they really want to go through the mental and physical rigor of another season. Even one like this one, in which now we've got mandatory and voluntary OTAs, rookie minicamps, they've all been kind of put off for now. And so there's only so much that teams can do, and they certainly can't require that their players show up now in the off season. Well, but every year you have guys that decide, hey, do I really want to go through this again? They take some time after the season is over. One of those, Indianapolis Colts offensive lineman Anthony Costanzo, he decided not to retire, but he went through a pretty extensive process of deciding if this was the right thing for him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, after the season, I kind of looked at it. This is the first season in actually a long time that I've played, and I really had no really minimal pain anywhere. My knees have felt better than they ever have, and I was kind of looking at it and saying, you know, if after that season I looked back and I said that's the absolute best that I think that my body is capable of playing, and I don't think that I can get better, I probably would have ended up shutting it down, because, you know, if I can't get better, I kind of look at it as just kind of spinning your wheels, and that is not something I'm interested in. But after the season, I kind of just went back to training as if I was going to come back and kind of assessed things. And when my body was way ahead of where it was last year, and I kind of saw the potential to play significantly better this year than I did last year, I got really excited at that opportunity. And that was when I told the Colts that I'd be coming back.
Anthony Costanzo of the offensive line went through a tough season last year, not personally, but I mean as a team. And remember, the abrupt retirement of Andrew Luck kind of sent that offense into flux. And while they were initially hoping that Jacoby Brissett could step in and fill those shoes, now they've turned to Phillip Rivers. But if you are an offensive lineman and you have the opportunity now to block in front of an elder statesman among quarterbacks, one who's got so much wisdom and experience, who could restore some life and some maybe a little bit of downfield vertical element back to your offense, you've got to be pretty excited.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, obviously, when you have a guy who's done it and has shown how well he can do it and still got a lot in the tank, it's exciting. It's going to be an exciting person to block for. And, yeah, I mean, it's extremely exciting that we get to keep the same offensive line together that has kind of gelled as well as we have. And having people across the line that can play really well, and having a quarterback like that who can kind of make us look good too, it's going to be exciting.
Anthony, already anticipating what it will be like to play in front of Phillip Rivers. Now, that's not a guy who's going to be running around a bunch, but it's critical that you protect him as an older guy, not effective on his rear end. Not quite center blocks for feet, but he's not a mobile quarterback. The Anthony sound and the Austin sound, both from Sirius XM NFL Radio. Now, you may have heard Aaron Rodgers, who made an appearance on the Pat McAfee show Friday on CBS Sports Radio. He told this crazy story about how he and some friends nearly got stuck in Peru. I'll let you go back and listen to the story if you wanted to, or listen to him tell it on CBS Sports Radio. You can always access all of our interviews on our website. But he talks about how they were essentially given a very short window of time to get to the airport, and they were kind of racing against time. He compares it to the movie Argo. You guys remember that movie? Actually, when I heard him talk about it, I thought, oh, I need to go back and watch that movie again. It's the Ben Affleck movie in which there's the group of people who are racing to get to the airport, and they realize it's their last chance to get out of the country. That I forgot what country they're in. Anyway, and so he just kind of compares it to that and how stressful it was, and he says they get to the airport, and it's crowded. People are jammed in, and most of them are not wearing masks, and it was really disconcerting to be in this large group of people as everyone's scrambling to get to their planes. And then not only are they getting ready to close the borders and to stop travel, but the airport has to close because of weather, and he says they made it out by 15 minutes. So really a fascinating story. I think people.com also kind of took his story and told it as part of you know, their entertainment news that they do. So, to hear Aaron Rodgers talk about it, it almost takes you and puts you right in that site. If you had a similar experience, they were racing against time, to be sure. But with my apologies to his really compelling story about getting out of Peru with his friends, this was my favorite part of the Pat McAfee interview with Aaron Rodgers.
I had to go to the store yesterday to get some supplies. And I took a picture of it because I've been in the store maybe five times, you know, since the lockdown, maybe four times. And it was the first time I actually saw toilet paper at the store.
Even Aaron Rodgers, even one of the most famous athletes on the planet, is still out in the same predicament that you are, searching for toilet paper. He said he took a picture of it. Raise your hand right now wherever you are. How many of you have taken a picture of either empty shelves where the toilet paper is supposed to be, or you've actually taken a photo of toilet paper on the shelves because it's such a rarity right now? Admit it. You and Aaron Rodgers, you have that in common. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, really good story about escaping from Peru, but I can't help it. The toilet paper part, the part that humanizes Aaron Rodgers, that's the part that I wanted you to hear. That actually was an experience that I had on Saturday, and I told the story to start the show. I won't go through the whole thing again, but everywhere I've been, I hadn't been to the store in about 10 days, but everywhere I'd been, I had looked to see if there was toilet paper just because, it's not because I need it. I did go once looking for it for my neighbor just in case I could find some because she was running short. But I didn't. I went to Walmart. They had completely replaced the paper goods section with a bunch of bins and tubs for people who were stockpiling and storing. They no longer had a paper goods section. The lady laughed at me when I asked. So I hadn't seen it, you know, in 2 weeks, but I don't need it. I'm still okay. Well, on Saturday morning, I thought, you know what? I haven't tried my local grocery store since the lockdown, since the stay-at-home order was issued. And it's closed. It's only a couple of miles away. So if they don't have anything, it's fine. I didn't waste a whole lot of gas to get over there. So Penny and I hop in the car on Saturday morning after our walk, and it's about 9:45, and I'm thinking, I probably am getting there too late, because when I went to Sam's 2 weeks ago, I got there. Generally, the Sam's Club I go to opens at 9:30, and that's for members on a Saturday. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, I thought I was early. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, there were already thousands of people in the store. And so I was thinking, shoot, 9:45, maybe too late. Not that I needed a whole lot, but there were a couple of things I was running low on. So I thought that maybe I would try. And I was also making a loaded baked potato soup, in my crock pot on Saturday. It was my big Saturday project. And so I was looking for some scallions. Anyway, I went to the store and I pull in the parking lot, and there's maybe 15 cars there. That was it. So right away I was thinking, okay, now this is a smaller grocery store. And so, you know, I wouldn't expect there to be 1,000 people inside anyway, unless there was some kind of mass panic, but there didn't appear to be from the outside. So I go in the store and it's calm, and you've got a bunch of people who are stocking shelves on this Saturday morning, and there were actually people smiling. It wasn't too crowded. I did see one lady who had four large paper towel. They were bulk, like paper towel packages. So I think they had like three each. And I'm pretty sure when she would get up to the register, they were going to tell her she couldn't take that many, because there were signs all over the place that said you can only have one of each of these products. But because I saw her with her cart, I thought, you know what? I'll go check out the paper goods aisle. Would you know, I stood there and got teary. Because not only was there a ton of paper towels, but there was also toilet paper, and not just off brands, but a few packages of name brands toilet paper. I didn't need any. I didn't buy any because I have plenty of both. And I also have Kleenex, but I did get teary. I just stood there and looked at people in the aisle, and a couple people would come in the aisle and go, whoa, they have paper goods. And that's how I felt. I was so overwhelmed. And I actually tweeted this on Saturday morning because I just was so thrilled to start out my Saturday with the simple pleasures in life, knowing the local grocery store had turkey, ground beef, fruits and vegetables, milk, pasta. I was almost out of pasta. Well, I only eat whole wheat pasta, so I was out of whole wheat pasta, paper towels, and TP. It just made me so happy on a Saturday morning to know that in some places, stores are now able to restock and they're not completely bare on their paper goods shelves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Dave. Oh, I do miss hockey whenever I think about Alexander Ovechkin and him screaming and yelling like a crazy man. Dave reminds me that in Argo, they're fleeing Iran. I couldn't remember what Mideastern country it was. But yes, I actually want to go back and watch that movie now. The Power of Suggestion. Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. And so I haven't done any movie watching at all. I've done some writing. I started a blog post on Sunday that I'll probably share with you in the next couple of days. I've done a bunch of reading, research for the interviews we have coming up this week, which includes a bunch of reading. And I finally finished my taxes on Friday. So that was also something that I really need to get through. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line at CBS Sports Radio, sponsored by Geico. 855-212-4CBS. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. If you could only bring back one sport or one league following the coronavirus, which one would it be? Justin on our Facebook page says, I can't believe I haven't heard boxing. Who doesn't love a heavyweight battle? Well, I'm sure there are a few people, not many. I did see that the Boxing Hall of Fame has postponed its most recent induction, or the induction that's coming up this summer. And I'm wondering whether or not we're going to see other postponements. Now, the NFL, well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, their induction isn't until August. If I'm not mistaken, the Baseball Hall of Fame is in July. And so for now, maybe they can hold off on those. I think basketball's a little bit later in the summer as well, though the dates escape me. But boxing has already gone ahead and postponed what I think was supposed to be a June Hall of Fame induction. Here's David, WWE. If I could only bring back one sport, WWE, with live audiences. They're doing events from the Performance Center, and while it's entertaining, nothing beats a live crowd. He says Vince is putting WrestleMania on for 2 days this coming weekend on PPV. Okay, there's one in every crowd. If you miss WWE, which is more of a play, Broadway, than it is an actual sport, then okay. Let's see. Todd says, NCAA, boy, do I miss March Madness. What one sport or league would you bring back if you could only bring back one?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.